July 26, 1991, we're in New York City, weekend of the Yankee Heroes of Baseball game, and I'm pleased to be talking to Jake Gibbs. Jake, I want to thank you for your time here.
Well, I appreciate it very much, Herb.
Okay. Let's go back a little bit, Jake. Could you like to tell us where you were born and raised and how you first got exposed to baseball?
Well, I was born November the 7th, 1938 in Grenada County, in Grenada, Mississippi. And it seemed like I'd been playing baseball all my life. We lived out of the suburbs of Grenada, where we had our own little neighborhood country boys team, you might say. And we had our own ball club out there, and we made our own field, made our own bases, and we didn't have many baseballs. I mean, we played in the days where if you foul a ball off, you had to go stop and look for it.
Right.
And once you wore the cover off the ball, then you had to go buy some tape and tape it.
Right.
And play with it some more. Uh-huh. And I guess I was fortunate to come up playing baseball and sports with guys a little bit older than I was. So I think maybe that helped me, you know, in the long run, playing with guys a little bit older.
In what way?
Well, you know, knowing the game and talking to you and you know, watching them play and playing with them, I think it made you mature probably a little sooner and that kind of thing. But just the way it was in our neighborhood, where most of the guys were probably a little bit older than I was.
And what was the approximate population of Grenada?
Oh, back in those days, it was probably 5,000,
okay.
About 6,000 people.
Now you went, you played in high school then?
I played 6 years of high school baseball. I played my first high school baseball game when I was in seventh grade.
Was it sort of a junior or a senior high school
team? It was a senior high school team. It's,
but they let you play?
They let me play. At times I had to go to our elementary superintendent to get excused for missing class to go on a high school baseball trips. But high school was pretty much athletic orientated, and it was a good academic school too.
Okay.
But they allowed me to do that, and as long as I didn't miss too much school.
Okay. And what position did you play?
Well, in those days, I was a second baseman.
Really?
I grew up really being an infielder.
Uh-huh.
Second baseman, shortstop, you know, of course, once you get in high school, everybody pitches a little bit. You got a halfway decent arm, everybody pitches some,
right.
You know.
Right.
But infield was my key position.
Really? Now, scouts began to come around?
Yeah, scouts began to watch me in my high school days.
Uh-huh.
And the Yankees saw me playing high school. The scout, a guy named Atlee Donald, who later...
He was a pitcher himself.
Later, he pitched for the Yankees,
yeah, right.
Atlee Donald.
Mm-hmm.
He saw me play quite a bit in my last year of high school. Then, of course, he followed me in my career at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee Braves. Dixie Walker came through there.
The old Brooklyn Dodgers.
Old Brooklyn Dodgers. And then, matter of fact, he was watching me play a game there in high school, and he got up on the top bleachers, and the bleachers wasn't really secure, and he fell back and broke his collarbone and had to go in the hospital in Grenada.
Leave it to an old Brooklyn Dodger. Right?
Yeah. But that's how my baseball career got started. And then from high school, I went to the University of Mississippi and played football and baseball there.
I think, as I remember, you were quite a good football player.
Well, I was fortunate to play on some good ball clubs at Ole Miss. My 3 years, of course,
were
freshman.
Were you a running back?
No, I was a quarterback.
Quarterback, right, okay.
And, you know, in those days, freshmen was not allowed to play football. I mean, at Elmer Varsity, we had our own freshman team.
Right.
We played three games.
Right.
Then my varsity years, as 58, 59, and 60, we had an outstanding football teams, and we went to three bowl games. We won the Gator Bowl and two Sugar Bowls. We won the conference my senior year. We were voted the team of the decade of the 59 ball club and Southeastern Conference. We were voted the number one team after the bowl game my senior year. I was fortunate to make All-American in football and baseball the same year. So. It was you know, at the time I was at Ole Miss in football, we won 29 games, lost three, and tied one.
Uh-huh. As far as the sheer enjoyment, which sport did you like better, baseball or football at that time?
Well, you know, I've been asked that many times, and I've been asked many times, why did you choose professional baseball over football? Because in the South, football is the number one sport.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I had a lot of fans and supporters and alumni that I think really wanted me to go into football where mm-hmm. they could continue to watch right. quarterback and see. But they understood my love for the game of baseball. But it was a different type in football. It's a different little bit type of game than baseball mm-hmm. where you got to prepare yourself. The quarterback, in my own estimation, never could really afford to have a bad Saturday. So you really had to prepare yourself, and there's probably a little bit more pressure involved in college football than it was in college baseball. And I loved college football. I loved practice. Football was a great love of mine. The teams we had there, I never really bothered me to go to practice. I loved practice. But back in those days, you did it all. I was a punter. You learned to play defense. You played offense. You learned to play defense. I was on the kickoff. Receiving team. I was on the kickoff, the punt. I ran punts back. So
during the games themselves, or just during practice?
During the games.
Was that unusual or?
No, that's the way everybody played in those days. It was two platoon football.
Okay.
You played one platoon. Mm-hmm. You had to learn offense. You had to learn defense.
Right.
And being gifted with some speed, and I ran punts back, and I punted the ball, and so I love college football. And I love college baseball, but when I got in college baseball, it was a little bit more relaxing than college football because you can get out there and you can laugh and holler and cut up.
And you weren't like the center of attraction. In football, you were the quarterback, and in baseball, you were one of the...
Football, you are the center of attraction.
Right,
and of course, in the way college football is. And being a quarterback, you are the center of attraction.
Right.
And... But baseball was a little bit of relief to get away from all that hoopla and go out and just play the game of baseball.
How did you do in, I know in football you were an All-American. How did you do in baseball?
Baseball, I was All-American a couple of years.
You were still playing a second base or the infield?
Well, no. Ole Miss had a second baseman, so my first year as a sophomore, and here again, freshman was not allowed to play varsity baseball.
Right.
But my sophomore year, I played third base. My junior year, I played shortstop, and then senior year, I went back to third baseman, and the Yankees signed me as a third baseman. Mm-hmm.
So by that time, did you get any professional football offers?
Yeah, I was drafted. Matter of fact, I was in the dorm one night, and the phone rang, and it was some scout for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Uh-huh.
And that was about the year that 1960 that Van Brocklin was with the Eagles.
Norm was
getting to retire, I think. And the guy asked me, he said, we are thinking about making you our number one draft choice with the Eagles if we have the opportunity. And being honest, I spoke up and told the guy, I said, listen, I cannot, that's great, I'm glad to hear you say that, but I don't know which direction I'm going to take. I'm not going to do anything until my last year of baseball is over. And I don't know if the guy didn't do his homework, but he didn't know if I had played baseball or not. And I said, I'm not going to make a decision until baseball's over. And he said, well, he said, you know, we might try to pick you up later rounds then, you know. If I'd have kept my mouth shut and just let him go and get drafted, I might have been number one draft choice. But anyway, Cleveland Browns drafted me and the Houston Oilers. And at that time, you know, Houston was in the American Conference, mm-hmm. which had been in existence 1 year.
Okay.
That league was 1 year old.
Right.
So I got drafted by Houston, and of course, my good friend Billy Cannon, who played at LSU, mm-hmm. was with the mm-hmm. Houston Oilers,
mm-hmm.
and George Blanda was a quarterback mm-hmm. on that ball club with the Houston mm-hmm. Oilers, mm-hmm. and they wanted me to, matter of fact, it was the Houston organization was an expansion team in baseball, the Houston Colt 45s,
uh-huh.
if you remember.
Right.
And they wanted me to sign baseball. Houston tried to get me to sign baseball first. And they said, we will work it out since you was drafted by Houston in football.
Right.
In 2 years, we will determine if we think you're going to be a Major League Baseball player. And if we're not, then you can just change your contract over to the Houston. I said, no, I don't know that. If I go baseball, I want to stay baseball. If I go football, I want to stay football.
You weren't the Bo Jackson of 1960.
Well, I didn't want to play football. I mean, back in those days, and people have called me, writers, and asked me about, since I was a double sport man, and when Bo was coming along out of Auburn, and Bo was in our league, and, you know, they people would call me and say, what do you think of Bo? I said, well, back in those days, I didn't want that opportunity. I didn't feel like you could do both back in those days. Because of the time consuming and so forth. It's hard on you.
What round were you drafted then, football?
I was drafted in the 6th and 8th rounds.
Okay.
So I think word got out that Gibbs didn't know if he was going to go football or baseball.
Right. So what was the deciding factor that made you go to baseball?
Well, after the Sugar Bowl game was over in 1960, we beat Rice 14-6 in Sugar Bowl, and Lou Grosser, who was the place kicker for the Cleveland Browns, was scouting, and I saw him when the ball game was over, and he says, we'll get back in touch with you. And then I don't know really what happened. I never really did sit down and talk money with football people. Later on, after I signed with the Yankees, Johnny Vaught, who was our football coach, told me that I could have got the same bonus out of football that I did out of baseball. But I felt like that in the long run, that baseball would give me a longer career. I knew it would probably take longer to get to baseball because in football, either you're going to make it the first couple of years or you go back home. And I knew that in joining baseball, that it might take me a while to get to the big leagues. But I felt like that longevity was a part of it. I know that Marion was in my mind with my wife here, Trish, and I knew that you could take your family to spring training, where in football they wanted you to come in that, and I just felt like overall that baseball would have been much better for me than pro football.
So this was your own decision, or were that family pressure?
It was my own, my decision to go into baseball, and I've had a lot of people to ask me the question. Do you ever regret not going into football?
Right.
And I've always said no. I mean, even if I have not made it to the Yankees or I had not made it in the big league baseball, I would never have second guessed myself for choosing baseball.
Okay.
But I love baseball. I love playing the game. There was times, and my wife Trish will know this because the year that I started catching, 1963, see, I came up in 61 when I signed with the Yankees and come up and stayed 11 days with the Yankees. Worked out with them, went on road trips with them. Then they flew me down and Dan Toppin.
This was during the season?
61.
Why did they do that?
I was a bonus player, and they wanted to bring me to New York, watch me work out, I guess. And I stayed here 11 days with the team. I would take batting practice, and I'd do everything until game time, and then I would shower and watch a game up in the stands. But I stayed 11 days with them. Then they flew me down to Richmond, which was our AAA team.
Okay.
And I played third base all that year. I hit 271 right out of college in AAA. Next year I came back and played most of the season in AAA at shortstop. Hit 284.
Was this a problem for you, shifting positions?
No. Matter of fact, when I was in AAA, I played left field, I played center field, I played right field, I even played first. Matter of fact, I think I have played everything except pitch in AAA. And then I go into the Army in the fall of 62 for 6 months.
Okay.
And it was there in January and February, I was at Fort Gordon, Georgia, and this Army captain comes up and says, Gibbs, you're going to start catching when you go to spring training. And that was new because the Yankees had not told me that they were going to make me a catcher. I wanted to make me a catcher.
The Yankees told this officer?
Augusta, I think, was a farm team of the Yankees at them those days.
Right.
And the general manager was a friend of the Army captain.
Right.
And I think the general manager of the team told this captain that we're going to make Gibbs. They knew I was there in their Fort Gordon. And said, we're going to make Gibbs a catcher. So when he hits me with it, and I said, no, Cap, I'm not going to catch. I'm an infielder.
Uh-huh.
He said, you're going to catch when you go to spring training. So I didn't think any more about it.
Right.
So we get out about my 6 months, and I go spring training.
And you've never caught before?
Never caught.
Right.
And I'm 24 years old.
Right.
So the first day we get to Fort Lauderdale, Ralph Houck called me to his office. He said, come on in, Jake. I want to talk to you. And that's when he breaks the story to me about, we need catching in this organization. Eddie Howe was getting a little age on him. We really need some catchers. We don't have, and I mentioned to Ralph that my roommate, AAA, was a catcher. I asked him about him. No.
Right.
They signed another couple guys. No, no, no. He said, we, because of your football background, you've been a quarterback, we need catching. Catchers can get to the big leagues quicker, stay longer.
He thought you had the leadership.
We think you can, you're the one guy on this ball club in the organization, we feel like we can make the transition to a catcher because of your football, quarterback, leadership, calling plays,
right,
that kind of thing. And my mind went back to Fort Gordon, the Army captain. He knew what the hell he was talking about. So that's the way it started catching, and I had to put my gloves down and go buy me some mitts.
How was it? How was the adjustment?
Tough.
What was the toughest part about it?
Well, Ralph told me in that meeting, said, I will not send you down any lower than AAA.
Ralph
Howe. You've been in AAA 2 years, we're going to keep you in AAA.
Right.
So then they sent me down to Hollywood where our training camp was. And so I had to learn the fundamentals of catching, the squatting,
right,
which is tough on your legs. If your legs are not used to all that squatting, they can be very painful, get sore, that kind of thing. I never did have the fear of getting back there. I remember that for 3 days in a row, all I did was warm up pitchers. Then they said, all right, it's time for you to put tools on and catch batting practice. Well, I remember that first day that those balls coming in and those guys swinging bat, I was blinking, you know, I mean, real blinking, you know. And they said, hey, you gotta keep your eyes open when you're catching a baseball. So it was a lot of learning I had to do in a short period of time. Like I had maybe 5 or 6 weeks at the most to learn everything about catching. And then we broke camp and went to Richmond. And it was put a lot of pressure put on me because I put pressure on myself because I knew I was catching guys in AAA. Some had been in big league.
Uh-huh.
Some trying to get to the big leagues.
Right.
And they throw into a catcher with only 5 weeks experience. So that bothered me a little bit. You know, if I put down a sign that they really think I know what I'm calling back here. So it was a mental type of thing too than it was physically.
I was going to ask you, which was more difficult, learning the physical part or learning to work with the pitchers and the kind of game they want?
Well, it was kind of both.
Right.
It was kind of both because as a catcher, you have to learn your pitchers.
Right.
Everything about a pitcher you've got to know. Each pitcher out there is different.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to know his strong points, his weak points.
Right.
You've got to know when to call time and go out there and talk to him,
right,
set him down or go out there and chew him out or, you know, hey, you're not doing this. Then the other part is the physical part of it, of throwing runners out.
Right.
Blocking home plate, blocking ground, blocking the ball, man on second base, man on third base, curveball in dirt, you got to block it.
Right.
So I never realized the responsibility that it went into making a catcher. When I was a third baseman, shortstop, I really didn't know the responsibility that catch. Hey, except, hey, catch a ball back there, you know.
Right, right.
But it's the middle part of it, of working with that pitcher, not taking pitches away from him, running the ball game. Nothing happens until you squat and give a sign.
Right.
So you're really the captain of that ball club.
And all of this thinking that's involved with catching, did that affect your hitting at all?
It did. Yeah. I never worried about my hitting because, like I said, I hit 271 right out of Connor. I hit 284 the next year. I never worried about hitting. When I started breaking fingers, I broke this finger in Buffalo the third game of the season.
Uh-huh.
I was out 7 weeks with it. I was still, you know, instead of learning how to protect my hands, you know, I'm still trying to receive the ball like a shortstop out there. Then I got my finger well, then I caught 3 weeks and broke another finger.
Uh-huh.
And it, during this whole time that, you know, that first year was your legs hurt,
right.
Aching, and they wasn't used to all that spotting back
right.
there. And that was a time that, you know, Trish and I was talking, you know, Cleveland Browns had drafted me. Blanton Collier was a head football coach at Kentucky when I was at Ole Miss. Now he was a head coach at Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
We talked one night in the bed. I said, I think I'll call Blanton Collier and see if he needs a quarterback. I said, can't be no worse than this.
You're getting a little discouraged.
I was at that time. I was. It really was. 63 was not a good year. I ended up hitting 219. I told Trish, I said, I ain't ever hit 219 in my whole life anywhere. So catching did really have a part, because instead of the, I was be sitting in the dugout thinking what I'm going to call when I go back there to catch. Instead of watching that pitching thing about my hitting, I was working
right.
on catching.
Right.
And I got in some bad habits as a hitter. I lost some of, you know, you start doubting yourself a little bit as a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to learn, because I knew if I was ever going to get to New York,
right.
I had to catch.
Right.
I had to be a good catcher. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm going to be a good catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it took me really 2 years where I felt like I was comfortable, where I could catch anybody who stepped on the mound.
Okay.
Now, I'm 26 years old, you know, and I'm still in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
26 is getting old to be a rookie.
For baseball, yeah.
Back then, they, you
not
know.
In other parts of life, but in baseball, yeah.
So those things all goes through your mind as a player. You know, I'm 26 years old. Hell, are they ever going to call me up? Am I going to get to the Yankees?
Right.
Or get to the big
who
league?
Was catching for the Yankees at that time?
A Yogi.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
Yogi,
yeah,
you
right.
had Howard, and you had Blanchard.
And I'm sure that was on your mind.
In 1961, all three of those guys hit over, you know, 20 home runs
yeah.
in 61.
And I'm sure that was on your mind, too, to find a spot for it.
Well, the thing that was on mine was, is I knew that here I am as a catcher.
Right.
You got to learn how to catch.
Right.
So learn and work. I worked my tail off.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a guy that, Jim Higgin,
yeah.
worked quite a bit with me. Mm-hmm. Lamar North was a double-A catcher. They sent him to AAA. He worked with me every day. I learned how to catch correctly by some good people.
Mm-hmm.
And it paid off after I got up here.
Okay.
I was always considered myself, you know, a pretty good defensive catcher.
Right.
I didn't hit in New York like I wanted to hit.
Right.
But I felt like I did a pretty good job behind the plate.
Okay, I'm sure you probably remember the day when you found out you were going up to the Yankees. You want to tell us about that? How you feel about it?
We was in Toledo.
Right.
My wife was we were expecting our second child.
Mm-hmm. What year was this?
65.
Right.
1965. I had been up and down with the Yankees. 62 they would call me up, 63 they called me, 64 they called me up. But 65, June the 15th, I get when the ball game was over at night, the manager says, you're going to New York. Have you there tomorrow? Well, my God, you know, people don't realize you have family.
Right.
So I had to get on a plane next morning to Toledo and fly into New York, and it left her there with a baby, being pregnant,
right.
to get to New York. And she got Dooley Womack's wife to
uh-huh.
ride with her, and they drove. They got on that, I think, Ohio Turnpike and come on in here. But that was the 15th of June, 1965,
okay.
and that was the time I really came permanent with the Yankees until I retired.
Okay, and any particular, does the first game have any particular memories for you?
I don't even know if I remember the first game
right,
I ever coached.
Because you were up and down a few times.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I know the first time that I was recalled in 62, we was in Detroit, and in the eighth inning, I think we was close ball game, and I wrote Yogi walk, Yogi got base hit, and I pinch ran. Now, you know, in AAA, you used to play in front of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people,
right.
and all of a sudden, I'm on first base in the top of the eighth or top of the ninth, I can't remember, I got it at home on my, and there's like 50,000 people in the stands, and my knees got to shaking. I mean, it was a funny feeling. All of a sudden, you know, Tiger Stadium is, you know, kind
yeah.
of sitting on top of you anyway.
Right.
And I get out there and I look around and you start telling yourself, hey, stay relaxed, stay calm, you know.
Right.
But your knees are moving a little bit.
Well, you must have played.
But anyway, I got to third base with one out. It was a fly ball hit to right field. You know who's playing right field? Al Kaline.
Al Kaline, pretty good ball.
And Crow City says, "I think you can make it." And I tagged up.
What was the score of the game at the time? Remember, a close game?
It was, I think, it was getting beat 1-0. I think my run tied it up.
Right, okay.
And here is how ball players think sometimes, they were me. And when I saw that fly ball, I knew I had to tag up, and I told myself, if you ever going to run, you better run now.
Kaline,
you better get it. You better run hard.
Pretty good arm.
You know, I knew who was going to catch the baseball out there.
Right.
And I beat the throw in it, and it tied the ball game up.
Uh-huh.
And I think they got a run in the bottom of the ninth, beats 2-1. But it was, I'll never forget that feeling, the first time my pinch ran.
In your entire career, was there any particular game where it stands out in your mind?
No.
As far as you doing something from a personal point of view.
I tell you what, I caught one night 18 innings. We played 18 innings.
One game or double header?
It was a double header.
Okay. You caught each game?
You know, I can't remember. Anyway, I know that.
Whatever.
I know that I caught 18 innings, and the 18th, bottom of the 18th inning, I walked and I stole second base.
Really?
And Joe Pepitone hit a double, and we scored and won the ball game.
That
was in summertime when it's hot. You catch 18 innings, you know, your legs get tired.
You don't hear about that.
And you stole. Right. I stole second base. And by walking and stealing second base, Joe hits a double, mm-hmm. and we win the ball game. The other thing is twice I hit two home runs, and I was not a home run hitter by any means.
Uh-huh.
Didn't try to hit them because I didn't have the home run swing.
Right.
But I hit two different times. I hit two home runs in one ball game.
Oh, that's something. Really,
and that was a big thrill for me.
Who was on the Yankee pitching staff at that time?
The guys that I caught were Whitey Ford, who was without doubt the best pitcher I ever caught. And right behind him would be Mel Stottlemyre.
Okay.
I caught Mel for 9 years, two in AAA and seven with the Yankees. But we had Fritz Peterson, we had Stan Bunsen, we had Al Downing, and Steve Hamilton.
Okay. Did you have their confidence by that time? You felt really comfortable.
Oh yeah. I didn't worry about my defense at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got here, I tell you what was hard is, and it's hard nowadays, is when you don't play regular, you know, it's tough coming off the bench.
Right.
You play once every 4 days, once every 5 days.
Right.
That's tough on a ball player.
Right.
And there's something that you have to get used to, or you don't get used to it, but you got to make the adjustment for it.
Right.
And you have to keep yourself tuned in, even when you come to the ballpark, knowing that there's a left-handed pitcher going to be throwing tonight, and is going to the bullpen.
Right.
You still got to prepare yourself, knowing that you might get in that ball game at the sixth inning or the seventh inning or eighth inning. You never know. So, you know, and that's tough on a ball player,
right,
because trying to keep your timing at the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a ball player should really have a good positive attitude and think about the team winning.
Right.
What you can do to help this team win. And that's the way that I approached the game. That's the way I tried to play the game. The time I was with the Yankees is I came to the ballpark every day ready to play. If I wasn't in a ball game, then I tried to do my job in the bullpen. If I came in the eighth inning, I tried to do the best job I could. But I always went there with a positive attitude because, to me, the team came first.
Who besides Ralph Houck did you play for?
I played 1 year and part of another year on the Johnny Keene.
Okay.
Johnny Keene was our manager in 65,
right,
and part of 66.
He came from the Cardinals, I think.
Johnny Keene was the World Series in 64.
Right, yeah.
The Yankees hired him after the World Series.
Right.
And he was our manager in 65 and part of 66.
Okay. And who else did you play for?
That's it. Ralph Houck.
Ralph Houck and Johnny Keene.
Two managers.
Okay. of all of the hitters that you saw while you were playing, and maybe two or three that impressed you particularly?
Carl Lisinski, Frank Robertson, Al Kaline, Tony Oliva, Harmon Killebrew.
Some pretty good ball players. And how about, well, you mentioned Whitey Ford as far as, and Mel Stoutmar as far as the ones you caught. How about from the batter's point of view, which two or three were the toughest for you?
Louis Tiant was a tough pitcher. Mm-hmm. Of course, Sam McDowell. Of course, I didn't, you know, being a left-handed pitcher, I didn't see Sam that much, but he was tough.
Right.
Jim Longberg, Dean Chance.
Mm-hmm. From a hitter's point of view, what kind of pitches, you know, did you like?
To hit?
Yeah.
Oh, I was a fastball hitter.
All the Yankees seem to be that.
Oh, you better be you know, you've got to learn to hit the fastball.
Right.
And adjust anything else.
Right, right.
And I think all hitting coaches will tell you right now, you know, you look at fastball and anything else, you got to adjust to it.
Uh-huh.
Good fastball, these guys throwing 90 miles an hour, you can't look for anything else. You got to get rid of that fastball.
Did you get to know Yogi?